She's a pig and an animal.
This psychic never saw this coming.
Something happened when you were delivering furniture.
Yes.
Do you believe that your husband had a sexual relation with the plaintiff?
Yeah, he did.
She says it was sort of non-consensual.
That's a lie.
He was the one who took a vow, not her, him.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Cynthia Maroney is suing her former psychic counselor, Aida Agusti Castro, for the unpaid balance on a loan.
Order. All rise. Yes, this is case number 170 on the calendar in the matter of Maroney versus Agusti Castro.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Miss Maroney, it is your claim that you made a loan to the defendant some time ago. It was a substantial loan that she paid back some, but then stopped repaying the loan. You want the balance, which is somewhat more than this court's maximum of $5,000, but you're prepared to settle for that. Miss Castro says that while she acknowledges this alleged loan, she says that you forgave the balance of the loan. Now, who is this?
My husband.
Could you stand up?
And he's a witness.
Stand up. How long have you and the defendant been married, Mr. Castro?
18 years.
I'm not speaking to you. How long?
18 years.
What kind of work do you do, Mr. Castro?
Now I'm disabled.
What's the nature of your disability?
Back problem.
How long have you had back problems?
Since 1990.
How long have you been on disability?
Since 1991.
So you have chronic back problems for which you receive disability. How much do you receive?
Around $1,300.
A month?
Yes.
What kind of work does your wife do?
Real estate and doing readings.
And what?
Doing readings.
Real estate and what, Miss Castro?
I own a consignment store.
Consignment?
Consignment store.
What kind?
Antiques and...
Shh. Furniture, clothes, what kind of consignment?
Furnitures and paintings and lamps.
Oh, I'm going to love this case, Bird, and you're going to love it.
Okay.
And we're going to get back to this in a minute. Now, Miss Maroney, when did you make this initial loan?
April 24th, 2009, Your Honor.
Tell me about it.
I was in her real estate office, and we had been friends for about 8 years. And she asked me, can I borrow some money from you?
For what?
She didn't specify. But because she's a friend and was a friend and I trusted her, I agreed to lend her the money.
What kind of work do you do? Don't look over there. Look over here.
At that time, I was working at my Elena's store.
Whose store?
My witness, Elena Yorman.
What kind of store does she have?
It's a mystical store, bookstore.
Okay. Now, show me from where you took $10,000. Show me from where you took.
It was from my bank account.
Show me.
Okay.
I want to see it.
I have a copy of the check that I wrote to her with her endorsed signature. And I have a copy of one of the payments that she made to me.
I'm not interested in payment. I'm interested in your bank balance.
Okay. I also have the canceled checks and two police reports. So.
You want these police reports?
Sure.
Cool.
I don't know what you're talking about with regard to a police report. Now, according to you, you paid her back some money, right?
I was making payments monthly.
From where?
From my money.
Check or cash?
I gave her checks.
Do you have those checks?
No, I didn't bring them.
Where did you think you were coming today? To the beach?
Well,
what?
I should have thought about it.
Now, I read your answer. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Miss Castro Bird says that when her husband with a disability went to deliver furniture from her store to Miss Maroney, they messed around a little bit. And because of that, she stopped paying the loan. Do you understand, Mr. Castro?
No.
What I'm suggesting to you, sir, is let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
You say that something happened when you were delivering furniture to Miss Maroney, right?
Yes. Happened all the time when I delivered the furniture.
When you delivered furniture.
Most of the time.
When you delivered furniture. I want to know, how heavy was the furniture you were delivering, sir? And how did you manage that with your bad back?
And managed by myself.
You managed by yourself. Sit down,
no,
Mr.
I say
Castro.
Don't.
This is like shooting fish in a barrel. Sit.
Thank you.
It's a nice business you have going there, Miss Castro. You have a consignment shop, and you have your husband who gets $1,300 a month because he's disabled delivering your furniture. That's great.
Well, he wasn't.
I want you to tell you something.
Furniture.
I feel terrific about that.
He wasn't delivering furniture.
Hey, yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No, he was.
Yes, he was. Just a second. Miss Castro, do you believe that your husband had an inappropriate sexual relations with the plaintiff?
My husband.
The answer is either yes or no. Do you believe that your husband had an inappropriate sexual relation with the plaintiff? Yes or no?
Inappropriate in what way?
Inappropriate in any way. If he's married to you.
Yeah, he did have sex with her.
He did have sex with her.
Yeah, he did.
So why did you stop paying her the loan?
Because after I found out that he had done that, because he went ahead and confessed to me, even though the plaintiff was trying to say that.
Listen to me very carefully. The plaintiff isn't married to you.
I know.
Listen to me. Plaintiff isn't married to you. If he hadn't, she says it was sort of non-consensual.
That's a lie. She got undressed.
I don't want you to speak.
And touch his
parts. I don't want you to speak when I'm speaking.
Okay.
Do you understand?
I hear you.
I want you to put your listening ears on. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason.
I know.
So listen.
I'm listening.
She's not married to you.
That's right.
Hey, you're not paying attention. You're speaking and not paying attention. She's not married to you for 18 years. He's married to you for 18 years.
Yeah.
And if you acknowledge that she gave you money, the fact that he, your husband of 18 years, who collects disability and delivers furniture, had sex with your friend, does not give you...
She cannot be my friend.
Just listen to me. Pay attention, Miss Castro. Does not give you license not to repay her the money.
Why don't you tell me not to pay her?
Just a second. Do you understand me? Women don't seem to get it.
I get
it. No, you don't get it. I am assuming, for the purpose of this case, that there was a consensual relationship. I want you to be quiet and put on your two listening ears.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
She's a pig. And an animal.
I want to tell you something.
And
no, 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 no. He is, and he's also a scammer, and so are you.
And later today,
we went into her room, and we let her know that she shouldn't be afraid of the future. It held bright and beautiful things, and that we were going to purchase a car for her.
Who told her that?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Cynthia Maroney claims former friend Aida Agusti Castro borrowed money from her and refuses to pay it back.
Madam, I am assuming that it was a consensual relationship. You're speaking. You're not listening. It doesn't give you license not to pay her. What you could do is you could throw him out on the street.
Listen to me.
Not think about it, Miss Castro. He was the one who took a vow to
I know.
Not her.
I know.
Him. This one.
You see the problem.
You see the problem with you, Miss Castro, is you're not paying attention.
Yeah, I pay attention to you.
Good. When you start to lie like he did in 1990 and started to lie about his disability and who knows what else, lying becomes a habit.
No, he doesn't have a
lying, do you understand, Mr. Castro?
Never lie.
Becomes a habit. You were delivering furniture to her house when this happened.
No. At that moment, no. I'm not delivering furniture.
At that moment, what are lamps?
That's not furniture, that's lamps.
Were you delivering lamps?
Sure.
Yep. Were you delivering lamps?
Not at the moment, no. I'm fixing lamps.
Were you fixing lamps that you had delivered?
Yes.
Eventually, we get it. You owe her $5,000. Yes. Do me a favor. I'm finished with
them. She's a pig and an animal.
I want to tell you something.
And
no, 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 no. He is, and he's also a scammer, and so are you, because
no,
you
I'm
live
not.
On that $1,300 a month, too.
No,
goodbye.
He doesn't do that.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
She lied. She went around saying that he was the one that raped her.
It was not consensual.
That other woman is a pig and an immoral person.
It was a very complicated issue and difficult to prove.
There is no friendship with that woman. There must have not been any friendship.
And I'm sorry that I had to lose a friend this way.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Spilkelman versus Melendrez. Step forward, please.
Andy Spilkelman is suing his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend, Rudy Melendrez, for his share of the vintage Mercedes purchased for his daughter.
Mr. Spilkelman, you have a girlfriend. Is that you?
Yes.
She has a daughter.
Yes.
And you and your girlfriend have lived together for about, according to you, 10 years?
Yes, ma'am.
And her daughter was graduating from high school?
Yes.
This is her daughter's father?
Yes.
According to you, you made an agreement with Mr. Melendrez that he would pay half for a car for his daughter. You would pay the other half as a high school graduation gift.
Yes.
That's what you're suing for.
Yes.
He denies there was that agreement. So I have a few questions. What's the child's name?
The child is Monique.
Tell me when you spoke to him about purchasing a car for Monique.
I don't recall the exact date, Your Honor. It was sometime in June.
Where were you? If you don't recall the exact date, what location were you at?
I had asked Desiree to call Rudy to our home. Our daughter Monique was having a bit of uncertainty.
No. Her daughter.
Her daughter Monique was a little bit...
His daughter.
His daughter. Their daughter was uncertain about her future. We called him over. He and I had a conversation outside of the home about what we were going to say to her.
You stepped outside?
Yes.
What kind of problem did she have as a high school graduate about her future?
She was scared about the future.
Well, what plans had she made after high school?
It was hitting her a little hard. She hadn't really made any plans yet. We knew she was going to go to college.
Well, she can't go to college in June of 09 if she's graduating in June of 09.
Exactly.
And she hadn't applied to college.
She had to do a lot to get through high school, and she pulled it off.
Okay, fine. So you had a conversation with him outside, and is that when the discussion of the car came up?
Yes.
Tell me what you said to him and what he said to you.
I just recall that we discussed getting her a car, and then we went into her room, and all three of us talked with her, and we let her know that she shouldn't be afraid of the future. It held bright and beautiful things, and that we were going to purchase a car for her. Her father and I.
Who told her that?
We both did.
Tell me how that came about. You walked into her room.
We walked into her room. She was in her bed. She was feeling a bit down. That's why we had called him over.
I understand that. I want to know how those words came out of both your mouths at the same time, that we're going to purchase you a car.
I just recall telling her that you're going to graduate. You're going to turn 18. You're going to go to college. We're going to purchase a car for you. And life is going to be good.
And that's what you told her?
Yes.
Fine.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Your problem is you cut him out of the present process. And if you don't see that, I'm prepared to tell you that you did.
I don't think I did.
Hey.
Okay.
Pay attention.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Andy Spilkelman says his girlfriend's ex, Rudy Melendrez, owes for half the cost of a vintage Mercedes purchased for his daughter. Rudy says Andy didn't consult him, so he's not paying.
And then what happened?
And then a car was purchased.
When?
In August.
August of 09?
Yes.
Tell me how that came about.
Monique decided she would like a vintage Mercedes-Benz. I located one. The three of us went to look at it.
Who's three?
Monique, Desiree, and I.
Go ahead.
She liked the car. We went back. Maybe it was a week later.
Who did?
Monique and Desiree and I.
Okay. Now, you went back a week later and?
We purchased the car.
Now, between the time you looked at it with Monique and the week that you went back to purchase it, did you have a conversation with Mr. Melendrez?
I did not.
Well, you, I'm asking him about it.
No, I did not.
And you went back and you purchased it, the three of you purchased it.
Yes, ma'am.
And when did you have a conversation with Mr. Melendrez?
I don't recall. I have a text message that he sent to Desiree in August after we told him we'd purchased the car.
No, I don't want to hear we told him. When did you tell him that you had purchased the car?
I never personally told him. He and I never really communicated. All communication with him was through Desiree or Monique.
Well, that's impossible, sir, because if you wish to establish a verbal contract, since you don't have a contract with Mr. Melendrez in writing, then you had to have had a conversation with him.
Well, the one we had at the home in June, in person and in her room with her.
So what you're telling me, sir, is that's the extent of your conversation with him in June of 09.
Yes.
So let us assume it was your understanding that Mr. Melendrez was going to pay for half of the car.
It was.
I'm not necessarily finding that that was a contract, but let us assume that was your understanding. Let me tell you what your problem is, Mr. Spiegelman. Your problem is you cut him out of the present process. And if you don't see that, I'm prepared to tell you that you did.
I don't believe I did. Okay.
Pay attention. You may not like my answer, but you cut him out of the present process. You spoke to his daughter about what kind of car she wanted. You found the car for her to look at. Instead of calling her father and saying, listen, we're going to buy this car together. Let's go take a look at it together as a family, because you're going to pay for half. You totally excluded him. You went down, saw the car, and liked it. Well, then you had an opportunity to call him and say to him, you know, we saw a car that we liked. Let's go down and look at it together.
Your Honor?
Yes.
Those communications, now I couldn't bring her with because she didn't want to be here.
Listen to me. Then it didn't happen.
Okay.
If I don't hear it, it didn't happen. You cut him out of the present process with his daughter, and you shouldn't have done that. You understand that? Or you don't?
I understand what you're saying, but there are a lot of other circumstances.
There may have been.
I have email communication with Mr. Melendrez.
Go ahead.
Where when I asked him when he was going to pay me for his half of the car, not to mention the text message proof I have where he states he'll make payments for the car.
Let me see.
Why would he do that?
Let me see.
If there was never an agreement, Your Honor.
Your Honor. Just a second. Hold it. I still think
he paid for half of her driving school, too.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so he knew a car was coming.
You took the present process away from him, Mr. Spiegelman.
I don't believe I did, Your Honor.
Well, I don't care what you believe. That's why you're here.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, you're here for someone older and wiser who's been there, done that, and played that game to tell you that you took him out of the present process.
Did I take the financial responsibility away from him for the 10 years he didn't pay child support and I supported his daughter?
Listen to me. That's her problem.
Yes, it is.
That's not your problem. That's not your problem. All I'm listening to is the car. And I'm telling you that from the perspective of a parent, I'm telling you, it's not nice to say, give me half the money and I'm going to bring the package inside.
Your Honor, he's always involved in everything. He's been to every birthday party she has. He's always invited. He chooses not to attend. I would never leave her father out of anything.
Well, you did. You left him out of picking out the car.
You may think so, but I didn't.
Well, you did. You did. You said the three of us went to look at the car. Thought about it.
Well, he didn't want to go.
I know.
Okay.
Never...
Well, I don't know whether he didn't want to go or not. So you didn't invite him. Okay. Here's the message. Issue it's the fact that the last time you guys discussed anything with me was June. Then you guys make whatever decisions, and then you just say pay. Just a second. That's his email. That's exactly what I'm saying to you.
What about the one from August where he says he's excited about the car, he doesn't have the money on him, and he'll make payments? That was before that text you have there. And there's two texts there where he says he'll make payments. If he never agreed, Your Honor, why would he want to make payments?
Listen, I don't think you had a contract with him, Mr. Spiegelman, so I'm dismissing your case. You're not hearing what I'm saying. That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Please excuse, you may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Well, this is a man who thinks taking his daughter to Hooters to see his girlfriend perform in a bikini contest is quality time.
It's a public venue. It wasn't a strip club. It's a Hooters restaurant.
One day I came home to find him watching my TV doing his laundry.
He's pretty crazy.
If that doesn't say he's a taker, I don't know what does.
They're meant for each other.
I'm sorry the decision didn't go my way.
So they can stay with each other. I'm happy.
But he knows the piece of garbage he is.